According to statistics, about 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 20 boys in the United States experience childhood sexual abuse. This is not counting the statistics around the world. Someone known and trusted by the child or the child's family member is usually the one who perpetrates the abuse in 91% of the cases. The thing is, many children wait to report or never report child sexual abuse, so the numbers are probably way underestimated and the true impact of the problem is not really known. Today on the show, I have a special guest, Michelle Hall, who will be sharing openly and authentically about her experience with childhood sexual abuse, when she finally disclosed, and how God brought her to a place of healing where now she is a coach helping other survivors of childhood trauma and women who've experienced any type of distress to overcome their challenges so they too can begin walking in hope, joy, and healing. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Jenny L., a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. Michelle is the owner and founder of The Esteemed Life LLC, a personal development company that helps women survivors of childhood sexual abuse regain their power and fall completely in love with themselves. Michelle has her own story of sexual abuse, and she helps others navigate their healing journey through her podcast, Broken to Blessed. On Broken to Blessed, Michelle shares her story and offers tips and strategies to help other survivors of childhood sexual abuse. She also wrote about her story in Living in the Key of Joy, Volume 3. When she is not working, Michelle enjoys reading, photography, and traveling. Welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you for being here and for showing up with such authenticity and vulnerability to share on a topic that affects so many women. Let's start by asking you, how would you describe your childhood?
I had a lot of challenges in my childhood, but it was not all bad. You know, I like to stress that point when I share my story, but my childhood was, I'm the youngest of six children, and I was raised by a single mother, and we were raised in poverty, of course, with, you know, six children and, you know, one parent. And so there was struggle there just from the nature of the situation. And I also had some other struggles. I was born fatherless. I, you know, don't know who my father is. And that was very challenging for me personally. And then I was also born with a birth defect in my right eye that, you know, caused my eyelid to droop and impair the vision in that eye. So even from birth, you know, I was born with challenges. And, you know, with that coming up in school, you know, children, when they see someone who looks different from themselves, they, you know, tend to pick on and bully kids. So I experienced some of that as well. And then around the age 10, I was sexually abused by two very close family members. And so I, you know, I had a lot of challenges. I had some hardships. And, you know, when that happened at around age 10, it was like, what else can I deal with? You know, what else is going to, yes, you know, go wrong? And I, because I already had, you know, low self-esteem and, you know, just from the other things that I had dealt with. And that was just like really a huge blow for me to experience that, because it just felt like something that I really I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know if I should tell someone. I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. At 10, your brain is just not able to process that. And so what I did, which is what so many survivors do, is I internalized it. I internalized it and I just didn't tell anyone. You know, I wanted it to not have happened. And so that's how I behaved. That's what I stuffed it down. And I just tried to conduct my life as if it had never happened. I was able to do that while, you know, when I was younger, as I was coming up through my teen years. But what I didn't realize is that it had had a significant effect on me and I didn't know it. And so, you know, as I was navigating through my teen years and through my young adult life, I was making choices and decisions out of that trauma. And I didn't really recognize that at that point, because in my mind, it didn't happen. That was, you know, that was how I was operating. That's what I had convinced myself of. That's how my childhood went. But like I say, it was not all bad. There were good parts to my childhood, you know, with my siblings and friends. I did have siblings and friends, and it was not all bad. But as you probably know, the bad tends to far outweigh a lot of the good. It takes a lot of positivity and a lot of goodness to negate negative and painful experiences.
Yes, absolutely. And the negative that we experience distorts the view of the world. We begin to see everything through this tainted lens. So you're 10 years old, you've experienced this, and you internalized it. Like you said, this is what a lot of children do, because we don't have the capacity as kids to think the adults in our lives are the ones who are wrong. So we think something must be wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And as you navigated through your teenage years, when did you come to the realization that something was wrong, the way you were operating, even what happened to you? Did you recognize at 10 years old that this is wrong?
I knew that it was wrong, which is why I think myself and so many other children survivors don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think instinctually we know that something is wrong and that this shouldn't be happening, that this person shouldn't be doing this to me. And so I knew, but you know, sex is such a taboo thing to talk about, and especially with children.
Yeah.
And I think just to keep myself safe, I felt like at, you know, at 10 years old, I just felt like it was best to just, you know, just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I didn't really realize the impact that that experience had on me until I was much older, because I went ahead and I got married. I married young at 21. The residual effects of the trauma was working at that time. But at that time, I didn't realize that. And I say that because when I got married, I was actually stood up on my wedding day, which was more trauma, because that's a very traumatic thing. And it's a whole story. But that happened. And then there was an immediate reconciliation. And I ended up getting married to this man 2 days later. But I say that it was working at that time because there were so many red flags that I can clearly see now that I didn't see then. Because, you know, I had a significant father wound and I wanted to be loved. I wanted that love of a father, the love of a man. And just from the low self-esteem and self-worth, all of that was working at that time, but I didn't realize that. You know, as I look back and when I mentioned this story to people, they were like, "What?" And I said, "But when you don't know, you don't know."
Yeah.
So it was clearly working in, you know, in my everyday life. I just did not realize it. It wasn't until probably I was in my late 30s that it began to really weigh heavy on me. And I really did not, I had vowed to never tell this story. I had to never disclose that I had been sexually abused. That was just, that was the stance that I took. As I got older, and there was just a lot of things going on, you know, from childhood, I had all of that, that I had stuffed down. And then, you know, as I navigate into married life, and then I became a mother, you know, there's things that that comes up, you know, as you're living and learning. So I'm trying to deal with those things. I've got all this, you know, childhood stuff that I haven't dealt with going on, to where the emotional and mental load just became too heavy for me to carry. And I finally told my husband about what had happened to me, because he was unaware. It was at that point that I got into counseling to get help. He was very supportive of that. And that was when I was probably in my early 40s. So I held on to that secret for over 30 years.
Wow.
It was a long time.
Oh, goodness. I can just imagine how much of an impact that had on you, how much it weighed on you, whether you knew it or not.
Yeah.
Because we know you are in this field as well now, and we know that the body stores every traumatic experience we've ever yes. been through, and it just manifests itself in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad to hear that you got the help you needed. Tell us a little bit more about what that process was like for you.
Well, when I got into counseling, I thought I was just going to get help with that. I thought I was just going to get help with dealing with the sexual trauma that I had experienced. But it turned out to be far more than that, because how I like to describe it is that it really ended up being kind of a reconciliation of my whole life, you know, going back to when I was, you know, born, to when I was young, and things that had bothered me and that had hurt me that I had not dealt with, that I had never verbalized. Because once I got to the point where I could really talk about it, I couldn't stop, because it was so much. And I really embraced the opportunity to be able to verbalize these things that I had carried for so long that I had never spoken. And so it turned out to be a far longer journey than I expected it to be, but it gave me the opportunity to work out everything that I needed to work out, and, you know, to get the complete healing that I needed. And also during that time, I was a Christian woman during that time. And with the counseling, you know, I was strengthening my relationship with the Lord. You know, I had been in church prior. And so, I mean, I continued with that. But it's like I got to know the Lord in a way that I hadn't known him prior, because I was crying out for healing. And I was so ready to let this stuff go, and I was so ready to heal from it. That was my prayer. That was my cries to heal me, and to show me what it is that I need to learn from this process. You know, what is it? Why did I go through this? Who is it for? What is it for? That was powerful. And so I ended up in counseling, I think, for about 3 years. Because it took me a while to really, I had so much stuff. I remember sitting in the counselor's office and just saying, it's so much. I didn't know where to start, because it was so much stuff. And so I just really, I'm thankful for the counselor who was there. And she had also had an experience similar. Mm-hmm. So she truly understood. She was not just a counselor that was guiding me through something. She was a woman who had experienced something similar. So that made me feel more secure and heard.
Yeah.
And so that was really the process, was that I really had to pull up everything that I needed to deal with. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, well, in order to deal with stuff, we have to know what we need to deal with. And yes. So, you know, I really had to go back and just think about, you know, all of these things, all of these experiences that I had had that had caused me pain that I had never verbalized to anyone. And mm-hmm. so I did a lot of journaling. I did a lot of writing because I really just had to write stuff out. I didn't know how to deal with it all at one time. And so for me, the way my brain works, I had to start from the beginning. Yes. And so I went back to some of those earlier memories and experiences that had caused me pain. And I just started from there and just came forward all the way through up until where I was currently in my life, because it was too much to try to do all at one time. So I had to, you know, do it in steps or in phases. And yes. So it was such a wonderful experience. It was, mm-hmm. it was hard, but I was so ready for it. I was so ready for it. I was yes. so ready to just get rid of all that toxicity that I was carrying in my body. And so I embraced it. I embraced it and I, you know, I prayed my way through it. I asked the Lord to help me, you know, to give me the strength that I needed to deal with everything that I needed to deal with. And it is an experience like none other. And I just, I'm just so very thankful.
Oh, I am so happy to hear that experience for you. And one thing that you said that I keep, when I speak with clients, I say the same thing. In different words, I would ask them to gauge, are they ready? Mm-hmm. Because just as the man at the pool of Bethesda, God asked him, do you want to be made whole? He had to come to that place of saying, yes, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. And being ready is such an important key in getting the trauma healing that we need. And what would you say got you to that place of being ready?
Well, I really got to a point where I felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown because it was just so much on me, so much on my mind. You know, I know now that it was God dealing with me, telling me that it was time for me to deal with it.
Yes.
And, you know, I can think about it now and, you know, laugh a little bit because I had wanted to be a coach many, many, many years ago. Prior to dealing with this, I wanted to be a coach, and I knew that I could not go into coaching and helping women if I was not able to do my own work.
Yeah.
And so I told the Lord, well, I guess I'm not going to be a coach because I'm not putting this out. I mean, I was really entrenched in that for many, many years. And I'm like, I guess I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to put this information out. And he saw fit for me to get the help that I needed. And even after that, even after I went through all of the counseling, I still didn't tell my family. I had told my husband, but mm-hmm. I didn't tell the rest of my family. And I was still saying, I'm not going to tell them because I knew it would cause problems in the family. It has been over 30 years. And I'm like, they don't need to know. Well, right. Which still meant I couldn't do the coaching because it still wasn't authentic. And so, you know, I say, you know, God always has his way of working things out. And he brought forth the absolute perfect opportunity for me to share my story with my family. And it was of such ease. It was no pain. Mm. It was no struggle in me telling the story. And it was just his perfect timing. His ideal and perfect timing. And so I was ready for them to know. I was no longer concerned about the blow up that would happen in the family, which did happen, but it just is what it is. And so that's how all of that came about. And then I was able to pursue coaching.
And this is also so important too. When we have purpose, God gives us a divine purpose, something that he placed us on this earth for. And a lot of time, the trauma is in the way of that. And we're busy trying to do our thing, live out our purpose without dealing with the stuff that keeps us from being authentic and whole. And God brings us to a place where we have to deal with our stuff so that he can use us, because they are blocks to the way we think, how we relate to people, how we experience life, and even the type of wounded healer we are. Because this is all it's about. He takes the comfort that we have and helps us to use it to comfort other people. Mm. And now I want to pivot into how you help other women through your company, The Esteemed Life. How do you go about supporting other survivors of sexual abuse through the company and through your podcast and as a coach?
Well, the podcast offers information, helpful tips. You know, each week I put out an episode each week, and I just talk about different topics and give, you know, tidbits and, you know, information on how, like, for example, how you can overcome feeling invisible. You know, that was an episode that I did a few weeks back, and just gave some practical things that could be done to help someone who is feeling like they're invisible in their lives. So I just, you know, I do podcast episodes based on things that are relevant to things that affect someone who has been abused, particularly in childhood, who is still having problems in their lives as women. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people may not even realize or consider that trauma experienced in childhood can affect you for the rest of your life. Yes. And so I do that. And then also through my company, through coaching and personal development, you know, I have a coaching program that takes women through a 3-part framework, which is basically what I did as I was going through my healing. And that's the first thing is to very first thing is that you have to be ready. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that's very important. So you have to be ready, because if you're not ready, coaching, counseling, nothing's going to do anything for you. Once they are ready and they seek help, you know, I go through the process of having them to identify where they need help, what they need help with, because here again, we have to know where to start in order to get the help. And then, you know, after they are clear on that part, then the next part is actually coming up with the plan of action on how they can improve the things that they need to improve on. And then the last part is like the accountability part, where they're actually moving in this new way. And there's a period of support there where I work with them and I help them, you know, as they're trying to put new things in place. Say they have to set boundaries. That's very hard for some people to do and stick with. And so there is a level of there's a period of time where there is some accountability, where I, you know, where I'm working with them and holding them accountable to the things that they say that they're going to do. And, you know, to help them entrench those new behaviors into their lives. And so that's what, you know, that's how I help them. I'm going to start doing more events. I actually have a live event coming up on April 27th, a live virtual event, which will be it's like a virtual ball. You know, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be something fun and light, but it's a virtual ball for women overcoming adversity. It started out being specifically for women survivors, but a lot of the things that I help women with, I help survivors with, is relevant to other things. And so I am opening the ball up for women who are overcoming adversity. And it could be any type of adversity. I really like the idea of doing events. I would really love to do some live ones, and that should be coming down the line. Maybe not this year, but next year. Okay. Because I love to see women gathered and you know, helping each other and supporting each other. You know, I think it's so powerful when we are in numbers.
Yes. Yes, it is so important. Healing happens in community. Absolutely. When we go through our trauma is isolating. It is. And that narrative continues to play out in the mind and in our lives, even though we're amongst people sometimes. The connection isn't there. The attachment isn't there. And by the events that you have, I know that women would just be able to even see what it's like. Mm-hmm. Have you model for them what healthy attachment, healthy communication, healthy connection looks like? So you'd have to give me details about this event so I can put it in the show notes so Absolutely. People can connect with you to get more information.
Absolutely. I certainly will.
Okay. So as we round up the conversation for today, what would you say to women now who have survived childhood sexual abuse, who may be where you were, say, 15, 20 years ago in your journey?
Ooh, I would say that you are not alone, that there is so much help that is available. You know, I know years and years ago, and probably still now, people didn't seek help for this type of trauma, you know. Especially in the African-American population, you know, counseling and things of that nature just was not something that was big. And mm-hmm. so I want to encourage people, any woman survivor who has healing that still needs to be done, to seek the help that you need. Some women may be able to work through it on their own, and that's great, but a lot of women cannot, and there may be a lot of residual things that you don't fully realize that's going on in your life that is a result of that. So one is to seek help to find out where your issues are and what can be done to help you to overcome those things and live, you know, not just survive, but thrive. You know, that's kind of the thing that we say, because if we're still here, then clearly we are a survivor, but we want to move beyond surviving, and we want to get into thriving and overcoming and joy and peace. The only way that I know, the best way that I know how to describe what healing feels like is freedom. Because sexual abuse puts you in trauma. It's trauma and it's bondage. I felt like I was in bondage. And being able to just speak of the trauma and be able to get the healing that I needed, I felt so much lighter and so much more free. So healing is freedom.
Yes.
Healing is freedom, and it is worth it. It most likely will not be an easy journey, but it is so worth it on the other side. It is so worth it to not have the actions of someone else holding you hostage in your everyday life.
Yes.
We've got to get to a point where we can let that go and take control of our own lives.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story and the encouragement and the hope that you are bringing to other women who have been abused. You've walked the journey. You know what healing and freedom and joy feels like. And now you're spreading that and sharing it with others. What a blessing. That is such a blessing to have that purpose. You talked about not telling your story. You were adamant, I'm not going to tell my story. I am so glad that God had a different plan, because yes. Now you are blessing so many others.
Yes. His plan is the best plan. We can try to navigate our own way, but when it's his plan and his purpose, he can make it happen. And I yes. am so thankful that I share my story, because I share it now with such ease. Whereas before, I was so ashamed of anybody even knowing that I had experienced this. But, you know, that's what sexual abuse does. It puts us in shame. And it's not our yeah. shame to carry. But we carry that shame. We carry guilt, you know, because when you're a child, we always tend to look back at ourselves. What did I do wrong? Or what's wrong with me? Why did this happen to me? But it's not anything that you did. It's the action of someone else. The shame is not yours to carry. Let it go. Let go of the shame. Put it where it should be, so that we can live our lives in joy and peace and happiness.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for being a guest on our show today. I will put all the links to your website, to your event coming up in April, in our show notes. So please, if you're in a position where you are ready to know what God has in store for you in terms of healing, if you have been inspired by Michelle's story today, reach out to her and connect and explore what God wants for your life through healing, which can then lead into your purpose. Before you go, sister friend, did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to hop over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and a written review for the show. This way, the show can reach more sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening, and know that I am cheering for your healing. I'll be back next week, so until then, take time to breathe and be blessed.